The folder on my desk on the last morning had 17 tabs. I know because I had organized them myself the night before, because I had been briefed that the morning's agenda included 3 items that required precise sequential handling, and I am the kind of person who does not go into a room without knowing which drawer every piece of paper is in. 17 tabs, color-coded. I had been the Attorney General of the United States for over a year, and I knew this operation the way a surgeon knows a specific set of instruments, not theoretically, not managerially, but in my hands. The call did not come in the morning. It came from someone I did not recognize. There is a document I want to tell you about, not the folder with 17 tabs, a different document. I will come back to it. I had been appointed because I was trusted. That was the explicit framing, and I accepted it as accurate, because it was accurate in the way that institutional appointments are accurate, meaning I was trusted to perform a specific function in a specific way, and the trust extended exactly as far as that function and not 1 inch beyond it. The distinction between that kind of trust and the other kind, the kind that survives the function ending, is not one that institutions explain in advance. It is one that you discover at the point of discovery. The Epstein files were on my desk 4 months into the role, not the full archive. The processed summary. The distilled version, organized by category, with the sensitive material flagged for discretionary handling, meaning flagged for the Attorney General's determination about what the public interest required. I read it. I made a determination. The determination was that the public interest was best served by careful staging, releasing material in a way that did not compromise ongoing investigations, that did not expose sources whose cooperation was still needed, that did not create legal vulnerabilities for the department. I documented my reasoning. I followed the process. The process is a trap when the person who designed it changes their mind about what they wanted from it. What I understood at the time, and what I understand more precisely now, is that the filing system of a bureaucracy is not neutral. What gets prioritized for release, and when, and under what framing, and with what accompanying narrative, these are not technical decisions, they are power decisions dressed in technical language. I had made them in the way I had always made consequential decisions, with deliberation, with documentation, with a clear chain of reasoning that could survive any review by any reasonable observer, applying the law as written. What I had not accounted for was that reasonable observers applying the law as written were not the audience that would ultimately matter. The Epstein files became what they became, not because of what was in them, though what was in them was significant, but because of the gap between what was in them and what had been released. Gaps are where narratives live. I had created a gap with good reason, documented carefully. Someone decided the gap was more useful as a question than as an answer, and the question was aimed at me. There are things I knew and things I chose. I want to be precise about this, because imprecision on this specific point is how the record gets distorted. I chose the staging. I chose the framing. I did not choose which names were in the files, and I was not responsible for whose names were in the files, and the insinuation that managing the release schedule was equivalent to protecting specific individuals is an insinuation that is both politically convenient and legally false. I understand that this distinction matters less in the room where decisions get made about who stays and who goes than it does in a courtroom. I have spent my career in courtrooms. The room where my tenure ended was not one. My successor was announced before I was notified formally. This is also a kind of document, not a legal document. a document in the grammar of institutional power, a signal about the sequence of information, about who is told what, in what order, about whose convenience the process is designed to serve. My name on the folder with 17 tabs was still my name when the announcement was made. The folder was still on my desk. Someone else would have to deal with the tabs. The thing about the Epstein files, the document I mentioned and then set aside, is that the full archive still exists. It exists somewhere in a federal system. The determination I made about staging was my determination, made in my role, with my authority and my documentation. My successor will make a different determination, or the same determination, or will refer the question upward and receive instructions that were not offered to me. The files will be handled in whatever way serves the moment in which they are handled. This is how it has always worked. This is how it will always work. The Attorney General, who released Jeffrey Epstein's complete client list on a Tuesday afternoon in the name of public interest, would have been the most powerful person in any room she ever entered for the rest of her life. She would also have lasted 2 weeks in the role. I lasted over a year. I made my calculation. The calculation protected certain things and exposed others. The thing it did not protect was the appointment itself, because no calculation protects that indefinitely. Because appointments exist for the convenience of the person who makes them, and end at the same convenience. The folder with 17 tabs is still organized. I know exactly which tab covers which item. I will not be in the room when it is opened. The question I keep returning to is not whether I made the right choices. I made defensible choices. I can defend them. I will defend them if asked. The question is whether the woman who makes defensible choices within the system that employs her is ever actually protected by the system that employs her, or whether the system's memory is precisely as long as its current need for you, and no longer.